Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
On today's episode of the Bolts Broadcast, can Tampa continue Toronto's cold streak? Stay tuned. Season 4, episode 53 of the Bolts Broadcast, Mike Mitchelson and Chase Croshaw with you today. Chase, how are you on this lovely Wednesday afternoon?
I'm doing pretty well. Thank you for asking. Very nice outside here today. Almost a little too nice. So I took a step out. I'm like, oh boy, I'm sweating already. So I was not expecting that. It's supposed to be like 80 tomorrow or something like that too. So it's getting quite warm here. How about it down there?
Oh, it's gorgeous, of course. We're sitting at 77 outside right now. Sun is out. It's beautiful. Saturday. Planning on doing a little barbecue out over here, but I did hear rumors that there could be a little rain, so we'll have to monitor that. But if Saturday is a gorgeous day like it is today, how can you hate on a little barbecue, a little beer, a little country music sitting out by the pond?
Yeah, sounds quite great. I'll be inside most of the Saturday, be sitting in a hockey rink, and then doing a little escape room action, but so that'll be good though. That'll all be enjoyable.
Absolutely. Also, I got a text from my dad today. You know my dad. You've met him before once or twice.
I don't know who that is.
He had a Facebook memory from 9 years ago, and
he's old. He uses Facebook.
He posted news break: 46-year-old dad and 29-year-old mom. Okay, maybe not 29. Take down 16-year-old son and friend in a 5-game series of basement floor hockey. 3-2 with the final game going to a shootout that ended in the 10th round. All I can say is not in our house, boys. So I believe that was you and I when, I was doing the old Christer's Gudlevskis down in the basement. And so I told them rematch because I think we got this.
I think I agree, especially, if we throw your dad in net, he's getting a little up there now. I don't know if he'll be able to get back up. Those knees might be kind of giving out on him. So I think I do agree as well. And honestly, this is 9 years ago, so who knows? But I don't know if I believe him. I mean, this is you riding off of the hype of the Christer Gudlevskis dominant performance against Team Canada while still losing 2-1 in the Olympics. You're feeling yourself. You're feeling juice. You were in net, blocking those pucks. And, at that point, that was the height of my hockey career. I had 11 points in that season, a huge year for Chase. I got a hard time believing that, that we ended up losing this one.
Yeah.
But regardless, if he wants a rematch, we'll do it.
I got to agree. It didn't seem like he wanted a rematch. He said, LOL, .. So I think he's a little bit scared, but I'll make sure he listens to this. So, he can accept our challenge or not,
I'm in.
It's an easy yes or no question, but on today's episode of the Bolts Broadcast, going to be doing a little playoff preview for our Bolts versus Maple Leafs matchup. In the next show, it'll still be prior to the playoffs, but we'll be taking a peek at every other playoff series, giving you predictions on those. So that'll be exciting. Stay tuned for that. But today, covering Tampa versus Toronto, doing a little game review, game preview as well. Only one game left in the season. And then, of course, we just went up against Toronto in one of our last matches of the year. And then after the commercial break, going to be talking about some news from around the league, including the Bruins, as they continue their historic season. and then a little trophy tracker as well. So we'll talk about that. Chase, let's start with game review, game preview, and then we can really preview the playoff series as we get towards the commercial break. Now, we saw on April 11th, Tuesday night, Tampa, they looked solid out there on the ice. However, it went down to the wire, and Toronto was able to take this one.
Yeah, I know it was a good effort back and forth. I think Tampa played as well as they could have, and Toronto found some ways to capitalize. Vasi could have been a little bit better, but is what it is. Really the kind of performance tonight here is Justin Wall, pretty sure that's his name. He really stepped up in net for him, or Joseph Wall, excuse me, sorry. He really stepped up in net for Tampa, or geez, for Toronto against Tampa. Easy for me to say, 48 shots against, 45 saves, a .938 save percentage. Just, had a hell of a game, did very well for himself. And, it helped that Willie Nylander had a 3-point night for Toronto. But overall, we kind of saw, the guys you'd expect to be going. No Tanner Janot again. It was all right. Still pace, still did the best you could. Obviously, threw so many pucks on that, nothing squeaked by. So it just kind of is what it is. It was good to see Sergei have a couple points. And now we got one more game, that we'll talk about here in a few. Hopefully that game's a nice little warm up, but we did get a little bit of a preview of what the series might be looking like with Toronto. And, if we perform the way that we did in front of Vasi, I think we'll end up being in a pretty good spot. As long as the D supports him a bit more, as long as he, grabs a couple extra saves like he should, I think we'll be looking pretty good for the playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely. The team looked great on the ice. Aside from goaltending, could have been a little bit better, but we know how Vasi steps up during the playoffs and fully expect that to be the case again. One thing, though, that kind of stinks is Austin Matthews wasn't playing in this one. So that can be a little worrisome at times, but we'll see what happens at the next stage when we get into the playoffs. But nonetheless, a game against Toronto doesn't go our way, even though it felt like on the ice we were the team outperforming them. And then we've got one last game against the Detroit Red Wings, who just locked up a lottery position, potentially winners of the Connor Bedard sweepstake. Now, they haven't been winners when they had a lot better odds, so what are the chances now that they have one of the worst odds in the lottery? Probably not great, but who knows? Maybe there's a little reverse karma there, reverse juju.
Yeah, no, Bedard's staying on the West Coast. He's going to one of those teams, 100%.
You think? Not even Columbus?
Yeah.
Who's in last right now?
No. No, I don't think even Columbus. I think Columbus ends up with Adam Fantilli.
Who do you think, if you got to make a prediction on that right now, who are you saying?
I'm saying that we're going to see Anaheim number one, we're going to see Columbus number two, and we're going to see Chicago number three.
Okay, cool. I mean, I hope that doesn't happen, but that'd be cool.
Me either, dude.
I want to see Mishkov go to a team that can actually help him out. And then, of course, I don't want to see Connor Bedard in the West. Because, although I would hate to play Connor Bedard more often over here in the East, and just to get to the Stanley Cup, we'd have to go through Connor Bedard. I mean, still, I find Eastern Conference hockey to be so much more enjoyable, and so I'd rather him stay over in the more enjoyable conference.
And, for our ease of access viewing sake, it's obviously a lot better, instead of playing like half or so of the games, not even really that many. In the Eastern Conference, in the Eastern time zone, even the Central time zone, I should say, and it's really less than half. You'll still get to see him at times, but there'll be so many games where it's later nights. Maybe he's playing a 10 p.m. game if he's in California on a Tuesday, and people on the East Coast, it's not gonna be as easy for them to stay up. Obviously, people will, but if you're working early in the morning or you got school, maybe you don't get the chance to stay up. So it's just less viewership opportunities out here in the East. So selfishly, I definitely would like to see him, if not in the East, somewhere like in the Central time zone. And hopefully just, I don't want to see him in like basically any of those California jerseys. I don't want to see him in a Blackhawk jersey. So like, I guess the only option is just East, right?
Yeah, and I got to say, alternate universe, I think it would have been kind of cool to see him go to Calgary. Little Battle of Alberta turns into the Battle of the Connors. But I don't think that's even possible at this point. Calgary, too good. Now, I think, no, Calgary's officially eliminated from playoffs, but still, too many wins to be in that top 11.
So, I do want to talk about, because that'd be interesting, but I got to talk about Calgary. And how many years have I said it now? They're in hockey purgatory. Like, they are the embodiment of hockey purgatory. They're never good enough to win. They're never bad enough to rebuild. They're just there. That's exactly what they are. They're permanently mid. Like, that's all they do. They play good. They're competitive, but they're just not competitive enough. Even when they do make playoffs, it's not much of a push because, you know, all right, there's six other teams in the Western Conference and seven others in the Eastern Conference that we know are better than them. Like, they just kind of hang out, man. And it sucks because it'd be cool to see them be good. You know, they haven't really had a championship team. I think the last one was in the 80s, maybe early 90s, whatever it was. It's been a while. I know it'd be cool to see him get better because I want to see as much parity in this league as possible and, you know, maybe see a couple new contenders, especially out west. But the fact that they're still stuck in this just like purgatory hell, it's crazy, dude.
Mm-hmm. It feels like there's a lot of teams like that, or there's teams that are really bad and then they decide to draft, like, I don't know, Barrett Hayden in the top five. And it's like, what are you doing? You know? But
I remember that year. I could not believe that draft happened. And then, you know, that was the year I started working in the OHL, and I talked to one of my colleagues, and he's like, dude, he was a very, very good OHL player. Like, he, you know, he had this point number. Why shouldn't he go that early? I'm like, dude, like, you can watch him play. He scored solid, sure, but he's not a top five pick. He's like a solid NHL player at best. Sure enough, this is what we're getting, and he's not even at that at best yet.
Yeah, been a nightmare situation for Arizona, that's for sure. But let's swing back around, talk about our final game of the season against the Red Wings. We thought that it was possible that Tampa rests some players against Toronto. That wasn't the case. However, in this 82nd game, we know what's coming down the pipeline in the playoffs. Do we expect a full goal Tampa on the night against the Red Wings, or are we thinking some players are going to be rested?
You know, if it weren't for the game being at home, I would for sure say no, just be guys rested. But it is a home game, maybe for last regular season home game, let you know, more of the big guys go. But even if you do let them go, just limit their ice time. Just give it elsewhere. You don't have to scratch them. Like, that's perfectly fine, especially if they have some sort of, you know, Iron Man streak, if they played all year, whatever it might be. Like, you don't need to scratch them. Just minimize their ice time. Just reduce any chance of anything happening. Like, there's just no point.
Yeah. Absolutely. All right, well, it's time to talk about our round one matchup against the Toronto Maple Leafs. And the Toronto Maple Leafs, they don't have a very successful tenure when it comes to the playoffs, at least in the last couple of decades. So let's kind of talk about what we expect from these two teams. Where does Tampa favor in this matchup? Where does Toronto favor in this matchup? And let's give a little prediction as well.
So, yeah, obviously Toronto, they're the home team in the series. If you were not aware yet, they finished better in the standings, so they will get the first two games as well as game five and game seven. And it's, you know, it's not necessarily a bad thing. It helps that, you know, you get to play in front of your home crowd in Toronto. It's, you know, different environment there, especially in the playoffs. They've got some pretty, you know, rabid fans. So it's going to impact things a bit, but I still don't see how we're not the better team as a whole. You know, and that on the back end, absolutely up front is where you start making arguments when you have Austin Matthews, Mitch Marner, John Tavares, William Nylander, you know, just to name a few. That's obviously going to make a good argument against Nikita Kucherov, Brain Point, Steven Stamkos. But regardless, as a team as a whole, I think that we're the better team. We're the better roster. So we'll see what happens. I think it'll probably go down to the wire. I'm going to say, you know, if I had to lean one way or the other, I'm going to pick, you know, our Bolts to win. Of course, maybe a favoritism, I don't know. But I think it's going to be a very fun, long series. I don't imagine either team winning it very quickly. I expect this thing to go the distance.
Yeah, and I think the big thing that's it's going to come down to is goaltending. I mean, we know how talented the forward group is for both teams. There's bright spots on both defenses. The goaltending is where it comes into play for me, and we've got one of the best goaltenders in the league with Andre Vasilevsky. while Toronto, they've had three goalies step up this year, but I think across their careers, they haven't really been known as top-tier goalies. You look at Matt Murray, he's at a 903 right now. He started to struggle towards the end of the season, however, started pretty hot for Toronto. Ilya Samsonov, he sits at a 919 save percentage, playing very well compared to how he usually does. And then Joseph Woll, we just met him last night as of recording, and he played extremely well. But I think when it comes to a 5, 6, 7-game series, I don't think these goalies are going to continue to stand on their heads. Well, I think Vasilevsky very well can take one or two games by himself. So I personally, I'm going to say that Tampa takes it in 6. And the big thing is, if Tampa wants the series, they need to win a game in Toronto. Because when you look at their home away records, Tampa at home, 27-8-5. Fantastic. On the road, 18-22-1. They're not a good road team. While Toronto, a very good home team in their own right, 27-8-6. So it's going to be tough. They're in their atmosphere. We're going on the road. We haven't been good on the road all season. So can we take one of those games? I say we take game 2 and we win it in 6.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be nice. Because at that point, you take game 2, you win both at home. Puts you in a nice 3-1 kind of stranglehold. Means that Toronto's got to come back and win 3, whereas you only got to win 1. So regardless, even if it goes 7, you got to win 1 in Toronto because you're only going to get the 3 at home. And I agree, it's going to fare a lot better to win that one in those first 2 games rather than trying to pull it off in game 7. But I do think that 6 is the absolute minimum, and I really do think it's going 7. What I think could happen is the series ends up being home wins going like into game 7 for everybody. And then at that point, Toronto's going to feel good, but it's going to kind of be a pick 'em because the teams are going to be evenly matched at the point they're going to both have 3-3. I think that'll be, you know, truly one of the better games of the season of the playoffs if it goes that way.
All right. So outside of Austin Matthews and Nikita Kucherov, we know these two guys contribute at just a different level. Austin Matthews, a fantastic player. I'd argue a top 5 player in the entire league. Nikita Kucherov in that same sentiment. Outside of those two players, give me a key player to watch on each team. Guys that can make or break the chances for their respective teams.
So, you know, I'll start with our boys. And really, the number one outside of, I'm not going to go with any goaltenders because like Vasilevsky, too easy of a choice. And maybe even Braden Point, too easy of a choice, but that's who I'm going with is Braden Point. He's so strong down the middle of the ice. He has kind of slowly become, you know, that dude when it comes to really being the calming presence. You know, Nikita Kucherov is obviously just a guy who buries the puck. Stamkos does, you know, a great job scoring as well. Is a great leader, but Braden Point, he just brings a nice steady presence. And you know, we've seen the difference in playoffs with him out of the lineup and him in the lineup. It's way tougher for Tampa to win without him. The second he gets in, it seems so seamless. So I think as long as he's going, you know, full speed, doesn't have anything holding him back, he's going to make a really big impact in the series. And then looking at Toronto, you know, again, there's some easy answers. You know, Mitch Marner could be one. John Tavares could be another, but honestly, I think my favorite to kind of step up here would be William Nylander. I think that he, you know, he had a good game against us, you know, just last night as of us recording, and he's really having a much better season. You know, things have been kind of rolling for him in a much better fashion. You know, he had some previous downs in Toronto after having, you know, really high expectations, but he's over a point per game now in the year, and I think that's going to continue into playoffs. I think that he's going to kind of be the guy that takes over the series for them if they end up winning, or even if it ends up being a close one, they end up losing. I still, you know, my hot take, if you want to call it that, is that he ends up leading their team in points at the end of this series. Cause I got a feeling he's really going to step up and even take that step above the Matthews of the world and the Marners of the world and the Tavares of the world.
I like that. And Willie Nee currently at 39 goals with 1 game remaining, so he could hit that 40-goal mark. Definitely didn't see that coming after, geez, how many seasons in a row did we hear William Nylander might be that piece getting traded off of the Toronto Maple Leafs? It's seemed like it's been going on for 2-3 years now, and sure enough, He has a fantastic season, fantastic regular season, and he very well could be the reason Toronto plays spoiler. However, I don't think that's the case. You know our predictions. It's going to be a great series. I think that this has the potential to be not only the highest scoring series in this playoffs, but it could be a very energetic and high scoring series in playoffs in general. Because if Vassy's not on top of his game, I think that both teams can go tit for tat with just pure firepower. So it's going to be a good one for sure. We're going to go to a quick commercial break, but on the other side of the commercial break, going to be talking some news from around the league. It's NBA playoff time. That means big hoops action with the DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Get in on the excitement of every game with a touch of a button. New customers can make a $5 pregame moneyline bet and score $150 in bonus bets if their team wins. Plus, everyone can score a no-sweat game parlay every day during the NBA playoffs. Open the DraftKings Sportsbook app, opt in, and place a same-game parlay on any NBA game. If it doesn't hit, you'll get a bonus bet back up to $10. Go ahead, place a bet on the Celtics, because we all know they're headed to the championship. Download the app now and sign up with code THPN. New customers can make a $5 pregame moneyline bet and score $150 in bonus bets if their team wins. Only at the DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. Shout out to our friends over at DraftKings. Thanks so much for sponsoring the show. And I gotta say, I'm incredibly excited to see what the Celtics can do. I think this could potentially be their year. However, hockey is where my heart is. So even though I'm excited to see them, if I'm placing any bets as we get towards the playoffs here, I'm making it towards hockey.
Yeah, I mean, hell yeah. I'm not much of a basketball guy, so I can't go out there and confidently bet on it. But when it comes to hockey, especially in playoffs, I'm ready to roll. I'm looking super forward to it. It's been, I don't know, like 3 weeks to a month since I've done any sports betting, maybe a little bit shorter than that, but it's been a while. Just, you know, haven't been comfortable with spending the money on it. Haven't been, you know, like I was in a bit of culture, so I took a break, but now that playoffs are coming around, it's time to roll, baby.
So this is my first NHL playoffs where I've actually had, it's the money and the interest to actually bet on NHL playoffs. I have to assume, correct me if I'm wrong, but I have to assume you can just pick series winners, right?
Yeah, you can.
Do you have to do like a certain amount of games, or can you just say, hey, I think Tampa's going to win the series?
I believe there's just general series winners. You can definitely do it in games, but I'd be shocked if there wasn't options for series. I haven't really looked yet because they're still, you know, series are still not quite set, but right. Once they get set, I'm going to start looking more at those lines.
Okay, cool. Cause I didn't know if you had to bet every game or if you had to pick, you know, this team in so many games, but if you can bet just series winners, I'm going to make a big old parlay on round one and hope to cash in. So it'll be exciting.
Yeah, I agree. I'm going to do the same exact thing.
All right, well, let's talk about the Bruins. They set the single-season point record. Their historic regular season just continues.
One game left. They have 64 wins, 12 losses, 5 in overtime as well, and 133 points to go with their 127 goal differential. And that 133-point total is the most in NHL history, and they've got a chance to even add two more to it and beat the previous win record by 3, which is just it's crazy, man. I never really expected this to happen in upcoming seasons. I didn't think that there was going to be a team that was that far above the pack, but everything's just come, you know, to fruition for them. They have great goaltending. Both guys have been going so well. They've been scoring up front, and the defense, you know, Charlie Mack was missing some time, but people stepped up really well. And once he came back in, it really just fortified everything. They've had everything go their way. And that might continue in the playoffs, might not, we'll see. But they've really set themselves up, confidence-wise and fear-wise for other teams to maybe go on a bit of a run here.
I mean, 12 regulation losses is just stupid. Like,
that's crazy, dude.
What the? Also, I believe when we talked about the Bruins just last episode, weren't they at, like, 121 or 122 goal differential.
Yeah,
and like that. Now they're 127. So, you know, it just kind of shows how they're doing.
Yeah, dude, they're just absolutely rolling.
And the thing that's scary is we talked about how this was a team that was rolling all regular season. Who knows, they might start to cool off as we get into the playoffs. Right now, they're heading into the playoffs with a 7-game win streak. If they win their final game, they'll be going in with an 8-game win streak, which teams that are that hot are scary coming into the playoffs. It's just, can they maintain the heat all the way through? So that's going to be an exciting story to keep an eye on for sure. They're likely matching up against either the Islanders or the Penguins. If the Islanders get, let's look at the row real quick. The Islanders get one overtime loss, just 1 point in this next game, then they're locked in. Whereas Pittsburgh, they have to win and hope the Islanders lose in regulation. So more likely that the Bruins play the Islanders than the Penguins, but either way, whichever team it is, you're going to get a tall task in this Bruins team.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to really pick, no matter who they're playing, especially in the first round. Yeah, I'm going to go with the underdog here. You could do it just, you know, especially betting wise, just for, you know, a small chance that it happens, but I would not put, you know, any significant sum of money on it because it just seems so unlikely.
Yeah, Bruins plus 127 goal differential, the Islanders plus 19, the Penguins minus one. So
yeah, not great.
The seasons have been just a little bit different.
You're not kidding, man.
All right, Canes versus Yotes down in Australia, down under. What do we think?
Yeah, man, I'm excited. The land down under is hosting an NHL Global Series game. If you're not aware about the NHL Global Series, you know, games happen this year. I can't remember exactly where, but they've been doing it for quite some years. It began back in the 80s, and they took some time off. They've gone back and forth doing it, not doing it, and they're doing it here again. I'd assume that they're the only ones doing it. There might be another two teams to do it in Europe, but September 23rd and 24th, they'll be playing, you know, each representing one home team, be playing two regular season games down in Australia, playing in a 15,000 seat arena. So they're going to have more fans at this game in Australia than Arizona averages and you know, the regular season, which is just crazy.
I just did, which is
just crazy. But before I go back to this, I don't know if you saw or not, but Joey Decord, he played college hockey at Arizona State. It was on the team, on the team their second year in existence. And last night, he got thrown into the game when Seattle was playing there. So he played an NHL game in his old college rink.
Huh. It's got to be an interesting feeling.
Yeah, it's kind of sad that it's a reality, but yeah. Cool for him. He got a standing ovation when he got into the lineup because, like, you know, all the Arizona fans, you know, remember him. A bunch of ASU fans, blah blah blah. But anyway, I'm super excited for these games. There is a pretty good fandom for ice hockey in Australia. I think I've talked about it before on here that there's like a big summer thing that goes on down there. They have their league going on in the summer as well. It gets a pretty decent draw. They have, you know, solid international teams based on the population that they have, but it'll be cool. I think this is going to be great for getting, you know, more exposure of this high level talent to the younger kids and maybe kind of spark some more interest in the sport. And, you know, maybe we can start seeing some more talent produced from Australia. It'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, it's cool. And I was a little bit worried because they're south of the equator. Not really sure how that was going to line up, but because it's September, that's actually not bad. That would equate to, you know, it basically being around March time with Australia. And I don't know if they're anything like the Midwest, but if they are, late March usually gives you 70 degrees or minus 10 with 8 inches of snow. So let's hope for that one so that we can have a good game down there.
Yeah, I'm going to assume that it's not going to be that cold. I don't know what the average temperature is down there, but I'm assuming it's not going to be like that. I know once you get inland, you know, a bunch of it gets hotter. It's really dry and stays hot. So I can't imagine that the, you know, that the coastal cities are really too cold, too much of a difference. So it probably stays relatively warm, but again, don't hold me to it, 'cause I don't know for sure.
Absolutely. All right. Let's finally hit it with the NHL.com trophy tracker. What do you think?
Yeah. So this is really over the last couple of weeks, they've been updating all season long. They kind of like their voters and writers, like their favorites to win each trophy. So just kind of want to, now that the season's winding down, talk about a couple of them and see, you know, some of these were from as much as a month ago. A couple of these are more recent. So just kind of talk about things and see what we think. You know, we'll start with the MVP, the Hart Trophy. The NHL has, or the NHL.com, I should say, has Connor McDavid as the favorite to win the award, which obviously I'm going to agree. Without Connor McDavid, Edmonton would be nothing. And I really don't think anybody else should even get a vote for that trophy this year.
Geez, taking the easy pick, why don't you?
No, I'm going to take the correct pick, not the easy pick.
Taking the easy pick, I get it. You know, that's whatever. I might spice it up a little bit, but, you know.
Go who are you picking?
You know, I was really trying to feel the vibes, and I was thinking I would love to see Ryan Dzingel. I don't even know if he still plays in the league, but that's who I'm going for.
It's a great question. Does he? I think he's in Carolina.
Okay, there you go.
I think he's hanging out in Carolina.
Carolina's getting an MVP.
Yeah, I don't think that's happening. It's really random. That's the player you pulled out of your brain. But okay,
I was just trying to search for something, and that was I saw Dzingel. I'm like, I think it's Ryan, and I rocked with it.
No, that's fair, I guess.
Oh, he plays for the Chicago Wolves, so I don't know if he got NHL action. I'm looking up right now. But you can continue to the next award.
All right, well, while you go figure that out. Next, we'll talk about the Norris. And this one was, you know, article just released yesterday, if I'm not mistaken. You know, Erik Karlsson is the favorite for that award, and I don't think that's really much question at this point either. He's been kind of the leader since the beginning of the season. He had the hot start, and, you know, for point per game-wise, it obviously slowed down, but he's still been rolling. He's kind of the only reason San Jose even has a fan base right now, because, like, everything else about that team is just not very good. So Erik Karlsson is really keeping that franchise alive at the moment. Had a dominant season. Would have been awesome to see him go elsewhere and, you know, maybe have a chance at a cup this year and just kind of see what he did, but was not meant to be. He's got that big salary. Hopefully something can be figured out in the offseason. But Erik Karlsson, definitely the Norris favorite.
Yeah, and real quick before I talk about that, Ryan Dzingel, only 19 games in the AHL, has nothing in the NHL. So
interesting.
I'm going to retract that. I'll say I'll just go Connor McDavid. I don't know, just a guess.
Oh, okay. There you go.
But for the Norris, I am absolutely rooting for Erik Karlsson. Love the resurgence in his career that he had this year. I think another name to look out for, Adam Fox. He's been fantastic over with the New York Rangers, 71 points, a plus 28. He's been a fantastic defenseman since he's entered the NHL and has yet again another great season.
Yeah, so they do, like, for this voting thing, they do 15 voters, and they do you know, points awarded, like, per first place vote through fifth place vote, so whatever it is. And Erik Karlsson got every first place vote. So 75 total points, tracking behind him, Cale Makar, 32, Adam Fox, 25, and Rasmus Dahlin at 23. So from that group of four, obviously the next one I'd be rooting for is Rasmus Dahlin, as I'm huge, and I'm a huge fan of Rasmus Dahlin. I've been someone who's been a big supporter of him for a lot of years. People were trying to claim he's a bust. It's like, no, dude, he's playing as well as he can for a bad coach on a bad team as a 19-year-old defenseman. What are you doing calling him a bust? And sure enough, look at that. He's having a great year, and he's looking like one of the, you know, top five future defensemen in this league for you know, just for the next decade. So to all the haters, how's it feel to be wrong?
And you got to say, those are the top four for sure. Those are the four defensemen that I would be putting up there for the Norris as well. So very good little voting system they had going on there.
Yeah, 100%. I hope Dahlin makes the finalist list. I feel like it's going to be Makar and Adam Fox. Like, they're both very deserving, don't get me wrong, but the popularity vote kind of plays in the fact, you know, into that as well. So even if they were neck and neck, like, people are like, I don't know if I should vote for Adam Fox or Rasmus Dahlin, and they're going to vote for Fox. So hopefully, so, you know, that's not the case. I'd prefer to be wrong there. But moving on to the next award, you know, we'll go with the Calder Trophy. And it's really right now just kind of between, you know, Matty Beniers and Owen Power for me. I don't really see how anybody else is going to kind of really, you know, make any sort of sort of bid for this award. You know, there's some guys behind them, and you know, I'll bring it up at the time that like, you know, when the time comes, there we go. But you know, what are your thoughts between these two guys? Who do you favor?
I mean, I'm a Matty Beniers guy through and through. I have been since we saw him World Juniors, since he got drafted, and I personally thought he should have been the number one overall pick when his draft year came around. He had a fantastic rookie season, so I'm going to stick with the boy, Matty Beniers.
Yeah, and you know, the guys from that draft are the ones that are both fighting for number one and two from the draft are fighting for this award. So it's very fair. Me, I am probably also leaning Matty Beniers. I could see, I would not be mad if Owen Power won it. I think he's deserving. And the same voting scale for this one, but there's 16 voters, so there's that max 80 points, and Matty Beniers got 79. The only other first place vote went to Owen Power. A couple names trailing behind him: Stuart Skinner, Wyatt Johnson, Matias Maselli, just to name a few, and Logan Thompson as well, who started off the season really hot and slowed down a little bit. If he started, you know, continued as well as he started, he'd have more of a conversation. But I don't see how it's anybody other than those two.
Yeah, and I'm curious if they take pictures into the voting booth. Obviously, got your picture of Matty Beniers, but then they use a picture of Owen Power in the black and red jerseys. I wonder if that gets him any extra votes, because I'll be honest, it'd be hard for me to pass on Owen Power or even Rasmus Dahlin in Norris voting if they're wearing that jersey.
Yeah, no, I get that. That's fair. You know, I can't disagree.
All right, next, do we have another one?
Yeah, got two more we're going to talk about. Vezina, Linus Ullmark, nothing else to really be said.
Yeah, no, nothing to be said.
Yeah, and then the final one, which is for the Jack Adams. You know, right now, as it currently sits, we have Jim Montgomery, who is the Bruins head coach. There's been 16 voters in this one as well. He has 80 points. You know, so next in line, Lindy Ruff at 55, and after that, it's Bruce Cassidy at 27. So obviously, we know who's going to win this one, Jim Montgomery, and it's not going to be close. Those three names, you know, those are going to be the only three that even had a chance at winning. And again, the other two still don't even have a chance. Like, this is Jim Montgomery's award. Like, you could have put his name on it 3 months ago.
You know what absolutely shocks me?
What's that?
This offseason, when the Bruins got rid of Bruce Cassidy, everyone was up in arms. Bruce Cassidy's a fantastic coach. What are you doing? And I think a lot of us also thought coming into the season that the Bruins would be hovering around a playoff spot, more likely wild card, and potentially could be completely out of the playoffs. And then this happens. I mean, it's the perfect storm. The offense has been clicking. Linus Ullmark is the runaway Vezina winner, and then Jim Montgomery is easily the Jack Adams Award winner. So I just think it's so funny because you mentioned Bruce Cassidy there in third place. I mean, would he be in this if he were still with the Bruins? We'll never know. But Jim Montgomery, the guy who usurped him, will be taking it home.
Yeah, 100%.
All right, well, that's going to do it for the show, except for a hockey name of the day, of course. And this one, we've got Lucas Rainacloudis? Rainacloudis? Like rainy clouds outside?
All right, so are you ready for this?
I am ready for this.
I don't even know. So I'm going to play the pronunciation from Elite Prospects, see if you can hear it. You might not be able to. If not, then I'll try saying it.
Okay.
Did you hear that?
No.
Okay. Well, so Lucas, and then it's like,
Whoa, are you eating your mic? What happened?
Am I eating my mic?
Okay, you're better now. Sounded like
maybe it's because I tried. Yeah, maybe I tried playing my phone through it so the mic like adjusted and did that. But it's so Lucas first name, then it's like Rainaclo or something like that.
Rainaclo.
Like it's like French and like slightly like Swiss Germanic and Swedish all at the same time. So I don't know. That one's a very difficult one that I tried. Once I found the pronunciation, I tried saying myself like 10 times, like, yeah, dude, this is a lost cause. I can't do it.
Yeah.
So you're not alone in this one, Mike. This one's a doozy. Yeah. But our boy, Lucas, as we're going to call him. What's that?
So just give that one up. That one's too tough.
Yeah, no. That was a lost cause. But our boy Lucas, 22-year-old goalie from Sweden, as I just kind of mentioned there. Just re-upped in the Hockey 10, which is the third pro league over there in Sweden. It's a pretty solid league playing for Surahammar's IF over there. Last season, between two teams, 10 games, 2.51 goals against, 9.13 save, and then two games, 2.42 goals against, and a 9.11 save. So good numbers. Has represented Sweden a bit internationally. It's at some U19, U17 international events, not the World Junior events, but at a couple different random ones. So still solid young goaltender. Got a lot of time to improve. He's got prototypical goalie size of 6'3", 2.14. So who knows? Maybe it's someone that we see at least on the international scene at some point. I'm guessing it's not going to be as an NHL guy, but who knows? Maybe down the road he develops some more plays for Sweden at a World Championship or something.
Yeah, that'd be super cool. And it's not often that a name will stump the two of us combined. So the next time you tell me pre-episode, oh boy, this hockey name of the day is a doozy, I'll actually listen to you.
You're going to believe me?
Yeah, I guess so. All right, well, that's going to do it with the show. I want to thank you so much for coming out and giving it a listen. Chase, if you would, hit him with an outro.
As always, I want to thank you guys for listening. If you want to follow us on Twitter at Bolts Broadcast, it's at Bolts Broadcast. You can follow the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at HockeyPodNet. That's at HockeyPodNet. While you're at it, go follow WMP on Twitter at WMP Sports Pod. That's WMP Sports Pod. Make sure to go to thehockeypodcastnetwork.com. You can find all the pods in the network right there. Boom, click the logo. Listen, easy peasy lemon squeezy. Wherever you're listening, raise 5 stars. Send your questions, comments, concerns. Review. Don't forget to use code THPN. It's not for DraftKings.
Thanks so much for coming out. We'll talk to you next time.